There's no free lunch when it comes to investing. But what about a podcast that delivers educational content on investing, financial planning, items of interest, and even the odd wacky topic? Welcome to the Free Lunch Podcast, hosted by Canvas Wealth. Free Lunch will bring listeners the team's vast knowledge and experience in dealing with uncertainty. Learn more and subscribe today at canvaswealth.ca.
Welcome back to the Free Lunch Podcast with Blair and Colin today. Blair, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be back, Colin.
It's great having you here. And as the head of financial planning for Canvas Wealth, we're going to touch on a topic that everybody has to deal with at some point in their life, whether they like it or not. And I think it's called death, right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. The big estate planning conversation.
Yeah. We're all going to be faced with it, whether it's dealing with your parents' estates, your family dealing with your estate, or anybody, right? Like it's all around us.
Yeah, it's one of the two inevitables.
What's the other one? Taxes?
Taxes.
Yeah, right. Well, you don't have to pay taxes. You just don't pay them, right?
Yeah. Isn't that
what, I mean, there's like repercussions to not paying taxes, but you could choose not to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But you could choose, but you can't choose not to die, right?
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Well, we're going to dive into this topic that impacts pretty much every Canadian family. And it's one of the least discussed areas of financial planning. And as you mentioned, it is estate planning. Now, whenever people hear the phrase estate planning, they usually assume this is only relevant for like super rich families or business owners with big corporations or complicated tax situations. But estate planning matters for everybody. There's so many examples of this, Blair, right? Where how many clients have you met with that a question you ask them is, when was your will last updated? What's the answer you usually get?
Well, if they have a will, they usually don't remember.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah.
But I don't think anything's really changed is what you hear a lot.
Yeah. I have a simple estate, right? Yeah. It's just going to go to my spouse or my kids or whatever.
Yep.
You know, I think there was a guy named Prince that had a simple estate that he died without a will. Became not so simple. Right?
He had a lot of great advisors around him.
Oh.
Who forgot to mention that he may need an estate plan.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I know in our meetings we talk about, and
yeah,
I kind of say the same thing to everybody. It's the most important document you have in your life.
Yeah, because if you own a home, you have investments, you have children, you own a business, or simply care about making life easier for those people around you, then you got to have this conversation. And what we want to do today is walk through estate planning from a high-level perspective and also from a practical perspective. And we're going to talk about those three documents, the wills, power of attorney, and what was the other one? Personal directives. I almost forgot.
Yeah.
And importantly, I guess we should let our audience know, neither of us are lawyers. This is not legal advice, right? We are having a presentation with an estate lawyer coming up pretty quick here. He'll give real advice.
Yep.
We're just touching on the highlights, right?
Yeah, it's part of our job. Jonathan Ng, who's been on the podcast before, will be presenting, and he knows a lot.
Well, because it's his job, right? He's an estate lawyer. Just like when people come in to our world and they want to tell us how investments work. We say, well, maybe, you know,
yeah. Yeah.
I mean, let's not discount the decades of experience that we have dealing in equity markets and bond markets. And, you know, let's not take everything off of YouTube, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that goes with of having a estate plan is all this advice, all the savings, everything you've built over decades. You want to make sure that, you know, if you pass away or become incapacitated, that your wishes are followed.
Yep.
And there's a detailed instructions on what to do. You know, one thing I've noticed over the years in estate planning is how uncomfortable people feel about talking about it.
Well, nobody wants to talk about death.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't like talking about death.
Yep.
I mean, but you gotta cover your butt.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you'll spend months researching a vacation, you know, it's fun, or purchasing a new vehicle or things that will affect you while you're alive. But the thought of, I'm not here anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right. It's understandable. And nobody loves sitting in front of a lawyer's office talking about incapacity or death or might happen, but you know, it's unbelievably important. And it's about protecting, whether it be your spouse, children, your entire family, talking about reducing taxes and creating clarity during emotional times. You know, your loved ones are hopefully going to be upset if you're gone.
Yeah.
And if you've taken the time to write down or set up your portfolio, set up your finances in a position where everything will be an easy transition for them, then you know, they'll be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, you've done your job.
Yeah.
Well, we already talked about reducing taxes, and that was just don't pay them. Of course, I'm kidding. I'm not. That is not advice that we're giving. That was a Steve Martin stand-up routine years ago. So what is estate planning at its core? It's really about creating a roadmap for what happens when you pass away or become unable to manage your own affairs. And the second part is important because it's the incapacity planning that is often overlooked. I mean, we all kind of accept at some point that we're going to die, but it's harder to accept that at some point we might not, we might be incapacitated, right? And statistically, many people are actually more likely to experience some form of this before death, whether it's cognitive decline, dementia, stroke, illness, or injury. This is very common, and we've seen it in a number of clients over the years. I've seen it in family members. I remember I went and visited my wife's grandma years ago. She was living alone. She had her front door duct taped. And I said, Dorothy, why is your front door duct taped? She said, well, the neighbors keep coming in and stealing my food. I said, okay. So long story short, she has dementia.
Yep.
And she's in a facility now. So there's something that happens when that happens, though, is that what if you can't make financial or medical decisions for yourself? And that's why proper planning typically includes that will, the enduring power of attorney, personal directives, beneficiary designations, tax planning, insurance planning, succession planning if you own a business, and increasingly today, digital organization. I don't know if you've noticed, Blair, but like AI is everywhere and you have passwords for everything. That's just the way it is.
Yep.
Some of that has to be organized, right? It can become quite complicated because while we don't technically have an estate tax like the US, we absolutely do have taxation at death. And that's one of the biggest misconceptions that Canadians have.
It is. Yeah. People often hear, Canada has no estate tax and assume that means there are no tax consequences when somebody dies. You know, common sense would say that's probably not quite correct.
Yeah.
But yeah, in Canada, we do things a little different. But, you know, CRA treats many assets as though they were sold immediately before death. And that's called a deemed disposition. So we use that a lot for different things. But, you know, so if you have a non-registered account or an RSP, it's assumed that the day you pass, whatever the value is of that portfolio, everything would have been sold that day. It doesn't mean that it is.
Yeah.
But for tax reasons, you're kind of, your living estate stops on that day. All taxes are owed for any gains or anything, what comes out of the RSP. And then after that, it kind of restarts.
Yeah.
In terms of taxes. That's why you see, probate and taxes taking so long because you may have to file two or three times.
Well, probate can take quite a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen some really quick ones, but usually it's, you're talking about in many cases, multi-years, right? Multi-calendar years anyways.
Yeah. I mean, and probate is, and it's provincially mandated. So you talk about, Alberta, there's, a set amount for probate, which makes it somewhat easier, but it still has to go through the court, which can drag on. And other provinces, probate's a percentage of assets.
Mm-hmm.
So, your planning is going to be much more complicated in Ontario than in Alberta.
Yeah.
A number of reasons, if you're, for instance, let's say you, not to get off topic, but just kind of talking about the importance of figuring out what your taxes is, if you own your own home and let's say it's worth a couple million dollars, you've done well and you pass away. Yeah. There's no tax on that because it's a capital gain on your own property, but it goes to your estate.
Mm-hmm.
So in Alberta, because it's not a percentage of your assets, there's no real concerns. But if you're in Ontario,
It's a percentage, right?
It's a percentage.
And BC is the same way.
Yep. So suddenly it's just like you talk about things like trust, and it's that planning ahead and why estate planning is important. Because you may not think, hey, I just have a house and a few RSPs and my kids will get it. But
yeah,
you want to double check of where you're living matters.
Well, especially if you have things like recreational properties too. Like somebody might say, well, I have just a simple estate. I have a house, I have a cabin or a cottage. I've got a couple of trading accounts and a RIF. No big deal. Like, well, your recreational property you probably have held for a long time is probably some pretty large capital gain on it.
Yeah.
Right? So the value's deemed disposition the day you die. Yeah. So who's going to pay the tax bill?
Yep.
Right? I mean, that can be an issue, right?
And not even on property. You know, you have non-registered accounts, and let's say you have a stock that you've held forever and you feel really proud and it's had these huge gains on it. And it's like, I don't want to sell this, but, or even not even a stock, you know, let's say, some of our investments have done extremely well over the years. And if we haven't been selling or rebalancing, suddenly you have this huge, huge capital gain on it that if you want an estate in the future, or you need to start selling it, it could be an issue. So that idea of really having a plan, not only for the will, but for tax, for gains, hey, I'd like more money to go to my kids. Well, let's start worrying about this stuff now.
Yeah. And that's where you hear things like RIF meltdown strategies. And we won't get into that right now, but like there's things, but let's start with the basics. So the basic documents, as you mentioned, is the will. And it just outlines who receives your assets, who's your executor, who takes care of your kids, if they're still kids, right? How the assets are distributed, and sometimes it gets into trust structures. So one mistake people make is assuming that once they sign a will, they're done. They've done it, right? It's over. But estate plans should evolve over time. You have major life events. Every family's been through these, whether it's a second marriage, a divorce, the death of a spouse, death of a child, sale of a business, retirement, receiving an inheritance, or maybe, as you mentioned, moving provinces. You know, some people have relocated to BC from Alberta to avoid an annual property tax that was initiated by the BC government, but all they've traded it for is a future estate tax.
Yeah, I mean, it's going through it, it always goes back to, I mean, obviously we're biased. We believe firmly on having a well-written out financial plan that's always being updated, and that way gives you an idea of, but yeah, that estate plan, whether sitting down with a lawyer, or even just us kind of talking about what you should have is so important for things like that. Hey, I'm moving to Arizona.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's great, but let's talk about what that means.
Well, that's a big one. I've had a few clients that have left Canada for the U.S. because they had dual citizenship, or they were U.S. citizens that were working in Canada and they've kind of gone home.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a departure tax that you have to pay, right, to do that. Or in your example of, well, I'm just going to move to Arizona. It's like, are you able to just move to Arizona?
Yeah.
I think you got to apply for that,
Well, yeah, I think there's that kind of, it's been so easy. I mean, right now we're in a situation where, a lot of these issues and complications are becoming more apparent, maybe being more enforced in the U.S., but it's not quite as easy just to, it's difficult just moving province to province, let alone to a different country.
I saw on social media, there was an article about two stars in the U.S. that left the U.S., because of political reasons.
Yeah.
So they said, I'm out of here. And they renounced their citizenship to the U.S. and they moved to somewhere else. And now those same two stars are saying, hey, I want to come back. And the U.S. is like, well, you're going to have to apply as an immigrant.
Yep.
Right? And they're like, well, that's not fair. It's like, well, you renounced your citizenship. Yep. So.
Yeah, I mean, you hear stories like that all the time. But it's about kind of that long-term thinking. If you are going to move to another country, we've talked about it on a few podcasts ago about kind of how Canadians view citizenship and how the U.S. does, how hard it is to renounce your citizenship in the U.S., like extremely hard and expensive.
Yeah. 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 They don't make it easy.
Yeah. To go through. But yeah, it's that again, things that you may not think, well, how is this a state focus? And it, well, it is. You're making a major change on how your state's going to be taxed. And now you're moving to another country that has totally different tax rules, and Canada still may want a part of that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's get back to the other two main documents, power of attorney and personal directives. Can you talk about those a bit?
A power of attorney allows someone you trust to manage your financial affairs if you cannot. You know, without that document, family members may need to go through court applications just to help manage bills, banking, and investments. And it really makes it stressful and can become very expensive and time-consuming for those family members. And then there's the personal directive, which deals more with healthcare and personal care decisions. This document helps answer questions like who makes medical decisions for you, which is important if you're incapacitated.
Yeah.
Making sure the right person is deciding who pulls the plug.
Yeah. And they don't physically pull the plug.
Yeah.
They don't actually go into the room and pull it from the wall.
Yeah, I've seen it enough TB to know that's what happens. What your wishes around long-term care are, and what treatments do you or you do not want. One thing we've learned through many family conversations, people often assume their spouse or children automatically know their wishes. And very often they don't. Or, you know, I always use example, my family. I love my mom and dad and my in-laws. And I know that if something happened to me and my wife, they would do out of love and caring what they think would be in the best interest for us. Mm-hmm. And I can let you know that it will not be what I want.
Yeah.
So that's kind of just a personal example. So you want to make sure that that lack of communication can create, or for that lack of communication doesn't create emotional conflict during really emotional, difficult times.
I want to challenge you and challenge all of the audience to something here. You know, I love my parents too. You know, I mean, that's a given. But I remember one day thinking, I don't actually know my dad's story. So he flew into Calgary from Saskatoon, and we spent a weekend together, and he thought I wanted to talk about his investments or something.
Yep.
And I sat him down and I said, Dad, no, I just want to know your story. Like, I don't know much about you. I don't think that that's uncommon. Like, people assume that you know everything about them, but why would you? Why would my kids know my whole story, right?
Yeah, they only know Dad.
Yeah.
And the guy who yells at me all the time.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, just kind of a fun exercise to go through with your parents is just like, tell me your story. Anyways, okay, let's get back to topic here. So beneficiaries and common mistakes. So one of the biggest administrative mistakes we see involves beneficiary designations. And I've seen this firsthand where somebody has named their estate on their RRSP as the beneficiary rather than a spouse. And so the spouse did not get the spousal rollover, and instead taxes were paid through probate. Whereas if they would have named their spouse instead of their estate, it would have rolled over tax-free to the surviving spouse. That's a huge mistake.
Very costly mistake.
Very costly. Very costly. So this happens in accounts like RRSPs, RIF accounts, TFSAs, not to be confused with TSFAs, which don't exist, pension plans, and insurance policies. So these often pass directly to named beneficiaries outside the will, so outside probate. So which means if these designations are outdated, the estate plan may not work the way someone intended. And, you know, we've seen this, as I mentioned. Maybe there's been a divorce, and you have your ex-spouse still listed as your beneficiary. You might not want that, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you've got a second marriage. Your new wife might not appreciate that, right? You've got beneficiaries that predeceased you. You've got unequal distributions accidentally created. You know, sometimes parents will give $50,000 to one kid to help them with a down payment, but it wasn't necessarily documented somewhere, right?
Yep.
You've got minor children named directly. Well, you can't really name minor children directly because they're underage, right? They legally can't accept that account. So naming minors can create major complications because minors just can't directly inherit large assets.
Yeah, and sometimes the issue is simply that people forgot how much their financial lives have evolved.
Yeah.
Someone may have opened an RSP 25 years ago, filled out beneficiary paperwork once and never looked at it again. You see it a lot with work pension plans. Mm-hmm. You know, work for a company for 30 years. You know, they just keep paying into the group RSP. Meanwhile, family has changed, the relationship has changed, the wealth has changed, and really their intentions have changed. You know, how you view life probably changes every 5 years.
Yeah, or 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's important. Hey, this is what retirement's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, 5 years later, that's not how I want it to be anymore. So, but paperwork has never been changed, and that's why regular reviews matter so much.
Well, and it's why we always ask those questions in our reviews, like, when was your will last reviewed? Who's your executor, right? We double check the beneficiaries, things like that, right? I mean, that's important stuff. Let's talk about taxation at death in Canada, because this is where estate planning becomes very important from a financial perspective. So let's use an example. Suppose someone passes away with a large RIF, a non-registered portfolio, or sometimes called a cash portfolio, a vacation property, and some corporate investments. So this actually isn't uncommon, that scenario, right?
Nope, that's pretty common.
So unless these assets transfer properly to a spouse or qualifying dependent, those registered assets, which is the RIF account, can become fully taxable on the final tax return, which means someone who historically earned maybe $100,000 annually could suddenly show millions of dollars in taxable income in the year of death just from the value of their RIF, their vacation property, corporate assets. And that's really going to push them, obviously, into a higher tax bracket.
Yeah, and then you layer in capital gains. A lot of Canadian families own cottage recreational properties that were purchased decades ago. Then there's that emotional attachment to those properties, which is huge. But the tax bill can also be huge on that. So a cottage purchased for 150,000 years ago might be worth several million now.
Mm-hmm.
And the embedded gains matters. It's not your primary resident.
Yeah.
And sometimes family discover too late that the next generation simply cannot afford the taxes and not keep associated with that property.
Or what if you have multiple kids and you've left it to the multiple kids? Maybe they don't agree on who runs the property, who uses it, right?
Well, yeah, I think that's, to be honest, that's probably one of the biggest causes of family rifts is these cottages, mm-hmm. recreational properties. You have all these memories that, you know, from a kid you were there with, you know, mom and dad and brothers and sisters and cousins, and now you're adults, you want your kids to have that experience. And guess what? Everybody else wants it too.
Yeah, yeah. So there is a way to deal with some of the money side of that anyways, and that's through things like insurance. We're not necessarily promoting insurance, but we're saying that it does come into play, right? So it can play a very practical role. So not necessarily as an investment strategy, but as a liquidity strategy. And this is counter to, I've had a lot of insurance people tell me over the years, well, you know, whole life insurance is kind of like the fixed income of your asset allocation. And I say, that's not true because I can't access it. I can't sell it if I need it. Well, I guess you can, but it's harder, right?
Yep.
Whereas if I have a liquidity crunch, I can sell things like bonds or fixed income pools. They're liquid. And I can access it. So I disagree with this notion that whole life insurance policies are fixed income. But what they can provide is this liquidity strategy at death to pay taxes, to preserve businesses, preserve cottages, because you can pay off the capital gain with the insurance proceeds, right?
Yep.
Can equalize inheritances. So maybe one kid wants the cottage, one kid doesn't, right? And there's an unequalization. You can equalize it with cash from an insurance policy. You can protect surviving spouses. I mean, those are all things that you should look at, because sometimes the goal is simply making sure assets don't need to be sold quickly at the wrong time. And you've seen that where, for whatever reason, somebody's needed to sell something during a period when markets are just in a downward cycle.
Yeah, and liquidity planning becomes especially important for business owners. Business may be very valuable on paper, but not liquid.
Yeah.
Family may inherit shares in a company, but not necessarily the expertise or cash flow required to operate that business successfully, or as successfully as it was. So
yeah,
that's why succession planning matters so much.
Exactly. So for business owners, estate planning becomes much more than just writing a will. So if you are a business owner, you should be talking about things like shareholder agreements, corporate structures, of course, tax planning, succession strategies, estate freezes, buy-sell agreements. And eventually every business owner exits the business, whether it's, you know, because they want to or because they die or for some other reason, right? So there's an end to that person's life in the business. And the question is whether there's a plan.
Yeah. And one area that becomes especially emotional is fairness between children. You know, maybe one child works in the business and another doesn't. Maybe one child wants a cottage and another doesn't.
Yeah.
Maybe one child received financial support earlier in life. Families often struggle with the idea of fairness versus equality. And those are conversations that are difficult, you know, but avoiding them rarely improves the outcome. You know, we stress that a lot of the earlier you have the conversations, and even though they're hard, then you find solutions to them.
Yeah, we've been promoting this idea of family meetings for a few years. It's not easy to do. It's not easy to get everybody to buy into it. But it's that idea of sitting down with multi-generations of a family to say, like, look, here's where things are at. How do you want this divided? How do you want, like, who's going to take over this stuff? Having open conversations, that's a hard thing to do.
It's extremely hard to kind of, and especially if kids are in different areas of life. You know, one's struggling, the other's very successful. You know, it's a great way to break up a family, I guess, or really cause those rifts. But if you have that with the children while you're, you know, fully aware, incapacitated, and alive, at least you can come to some sort of resolution.
I mean, honestly, many estate disputes aren't driven by greed. They're driven by surprise. So when expectations are unclear, you get rising emotions, and that's when communication really does matter. Okay, what about trusts and advanced planning?
Trusts are another area people hear about and often don't always understand. You know, trusts are not just for ultra-wealthy families. They can be useful for young beneficiaries, vulnerable beneficiaries, blended families, you know, creditor protection, controlled distributions, and you know, tax planning strategies to some extent. A trust can help create structure and around how and when assets are distributed.
Yeah, so just to give you an example. So parents may not want their 18-year-old inheriting a very large sum of money if something happens to them. So a trust can do things like identify education funding. It can stage the distributions in different ages. It can provide annual income payments rather than one upfront amount. And it can be the oversight can be by trusted trustees. And so it's really about protection and intentionality, because, you know, I went to high school with a guy whose parents did die when he was 18, and he received what, I don't know how much money he received, but he did buy a DeLorean in grade 12. I assume that money was gone by the time he was 20. Yeah. I've lost track of this person, but, you know.
Yeah. And I laugh, not because, you know, he's an idiot, because to be honest, that's what you do at 18.
Well, it's like when people were giving Justin Bieber a hard time for ripping around in his Ferraris when he was 20 or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, well, if I was 20 and I had $100 million, I'd probably have a Ferrari too.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, let's race these Ferraris. It's, you're not quite mature enough. So, you know, having a plan and a trust and a strategy to help them till they kind of reach a point where they can handle that amount of money, that responsibility.
And it doesn't have to be huge amounts. Like, as you said earlier, it doesn't have to be like multi-million dollar estates, but like, do you really want your 18-year-old to inherit, I don't know, $250,000? I don't, you know, like that's just too much money for an 18-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, man, you give an 18-year-old $1,000 and, you know, some of them might like, hey, I want to open a tax-free savings account, but most have probably already spent it.
Yeah. Okay, what about modern estate planning then?
So estate planning today also includes, you know, digital organization. So people now have online banking, unfortunately, crypto accounts, cloud storage, password managers, subscription services, social media accounts. And if nobody can access that information, it creates enormous confusion and stress.
This happened a few years back where somebody died, and remember when you used to download movies from the iTunes store? You'd pay like, I don't know, $20 for a movie, and you'd build a library.
Yep.
And somebody died, and their widow could not access the Apple account because they didn't know the password. And Apple at the time said, there's nothing we can do.
Yeah.
And so it turned out to be like thousands and thousands of dollars of video and music libraries that the surviving spouse just couldn't access. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I've had subscriptions hooked up to old work emails. Mm-hmm. And when you don't work there, man, that's gone.
Yeah.
And that's something that I'm alive and phoning and try to get to change, but pretty much you're starting from scratch. So,
yeah,
you know, that's something we do talk to our clients about, the importance of, hey, you need to make a list.
Well, there's a book that we give out. It was one that you recommended. It's I'm Dead, Now What?
Yep.
It's a great book, not because it's a book to read, but it's a book where you just sort of, I don't know, put everything on paper. Like, where are all of your passwords?
Yep.
Where are all of your accounts? Who are your trusted people? So in our household, whenever my wife and I are traveling, I tell the kids, look, here's where the will is and here's where the book is.
Yep.
If something happens to us, you go to that book. It has everything listed for you.
Yep.
And you've got the will, so you're in good hands.
Yep.
And you're not getting $250,000 just because I died.
That's right.
Yeah, because honestly, one of the greatest gifts you can leave your family is organization. So, of course, there's wealth, but you need to be organized. It needs to have a clear list of, well, who are your advisors? Where are your accounts? What insurance policies do you have? What passwords are required? Where are your legal documents? And what are your wishes? And that clarity can reduce stress dramatically.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, at the end of the day, estate planning is really an act of care. It's not just minimizing taxes or structuring wealth efficiently. It's about making difficult situations easier for the people you care most about.
Yeah, it's just clarity, simplicity, tax efficiency, family harmony, and confidence. That's all you're looking for, right? So any last things you want to mention about estate planning?
Yeah, I mean, the most important thing is simply starting the conversation. Most people don't need perfection immediately. You know, you can add to it progress, but you know, have that conversation.
Because you're going to die. You heard it here.
Yeah.
Blair, you're going to die.
As of today.
Well, hopefully not today.
No,
but.
No, I meant today you're going to. Eventually you'll just put your thoughts into a computer, into AI. And then,
oh, yeah. Be taken over.
Yeah.
digital transformation.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll become a Waymo, right? Like one of those driverless cars. That's where all my thoughts will go, all my background.
Yeah, you can see the world.
Yeah, I could be one of those. I could be a Waymo that like honks at everybody.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty funny.
Yeah. Just be a jerk on the roads.
Yeah. Anyways, all right, till next time.
Thank you for listening to the Free Lunch Podcast hosted by Canvas Wealth. To subscribe to this podcast to get more realistic insights on investing or to connect with one of our talented partners, please head on over to canvaswealth.ca. We'll see you next time on the Free Lunch Podcast.
Financial planning services are offered through Canvas Wealth. Portfolio management services are provided by Q Wealth Partners, a registered portfolio manager, investment fund manager, and exempt market dealer. Canvas is an owner and partner in the Q Wealth Partnership. The information discussed in this show, including any opinion, is based on various sources believed to be reliable, but subject to change. The opinions expressed in this show are opinions of the individuals and they have not been approved by and are not necessarily those of Q Wealth as a firm. This is not legal, accounting, tax, or investment advice and should not be relied as such.